This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
All right, bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, assalamu alaikum, and hello to all those watching, to all those listening. This is Yusuf Raza, and you're watching Let's Grow Daily Quran. Today, we're talking about bismillahir rahmanir rahim. This may be the first ayah of Surah Fatiha. It may not be the first ayah of Surah Fatiha. There is a difference of opinion among scholars regarding that. Nevertheless, it is part of an ayah of the Quran in Surah Naml, and we are required to recite this, as according to the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before every surah. And not only that, we're required to recite this before any activity that we may be doing throughout the day. And that's what I want to focus on right now. The first point that I'm making with respect to this is how the Bismillah allows for us to synchronize all of our activities, all of our roles and responsibilities, and then pave the way for us to synchronize our personality, which is one of the most important goals of self-development, of personal development. One of the reasons for psychological distress, one of the reasons why our growth is impeded, is because of all of these conflicting part of our personality, conflicting parts of our personality that are just, there's a tug of war on the inside, pulling us in all of these different directions, and we're utterly confused as to what we're really about. What is it that we're really into? What is it that we're really looking for? Where is it that we're actually going? It's like an inch in every direction and no progress in any major direction for some people. For a lot of people, it is a lot of progress in one particular avenue and practically nothing in other avenues. So for example, there may be people whose professional lives are very well developed, but they're struggling in their relationships. There's other people who may be doing very well on their relationships, but professional life, they may not be able to progress in or understand how that fits in to their general understanding of religion. Most dangerously, we may have an understanding of Allah, of God, and we carry that with us to our prayer places, to our worship, but that has little to no impact in our interpersonal dealings, in our general life decisions as to where we're going, as to what we're supposed to be doing. So we may be very vigilant with respect to our prayers, but we may be incredibly unethical in with respect to our dealings with our families or our friends or in business. So that unethical behavior on one side and persistently going on, something that we've rationalized, something that we've accepted as part of our personality, as who we are, as what we do. And then that vigilant, conscious, that very dedicated, committed act of prayer, that too persistent, this doesn't go. This seems very, very off. It is as if, and it is very likely a possibility, psychologically speaking, that prayer, with all its dedication, with all the commitment, with all the tears therein, are little more than a compensation of the guilt that we feel for all of our unethical behavior, the cheating, or the lying, or the fraud, or whatever we're engaged in our social lives. And that's incredibly dangerous. This is where the Bismillah offers an incredible opportunity to synchronize these different dimensions of our lives, these different parts of our personalities, by synchronizing all of these different activities that we do. So obviously it's not, you don't just start saying Bismillah and it's all gonna magically happen in one day. We've been doing that for a while, but foremost, developing the cognizance, the consciousness, the realization of what it has to offer. That before every activity, when I say Bismillah, I remember that the Quran, that the Allah or the God that the Quran introduces me to, when I recite it, when I try to understand it, He's the one in whose name I am beginning this particular activity, this recording, for example, right? My food that I am eating, my pleasurable activities across the board, my social interactions, my entertainment that I may be resorting to, right? So all of my patients that I'm interacting with, that if I say a bismillah before that, then I am reminding myself that the one to whom I have dedicated my worship, to whom I recognize a sense of responsibility to, that I have to become, for his sake, a better version of myself, then in this particular activity, with this particular person that I'm engaged with, that I'm dealing with, that I am trying to help heal, I owe them an ethical responsibility. Their confidentiality has to be maintained. The best of my knowledge, of my expertise, is to be deployed at their service so they can get what they have trusted me with, or whatever it is, the business that you're up to. And yes, when I said every activity, and I'm, as an example, purposefully said entertainment as well, that it has to be so that I recognize the role that my relaxation, whether that's entertainment or sleep or just resting, how that synchronizes with my entire life, how important that is to my growth as a human being, and therefore to the service that I have to offer, or I freely choose to offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally what follows from this is that my conception of Allah, my understanding of who He is, cannot be that of a pharaoh-like dictatorial slave driver who is intolerant of most activities that are practically going on in our lives. That kind of a conception of Allah cannot roll. Otherwise, I will be forced either to live a very suffocating life that I am not comfortable with, that I cannot seem to reconcile with what goes on, what is natural for me and what He wants, right? So I can, that obviously there will be some sacrificing, some giving up of undue pleasure, some giving up of unethical practices, immoral practices, but I cannot put myself in a straitjacket. That kind of a conception will not roll, right? So understanding of Allah such, and we'll talk about that more, especially when we start talking about Surah Fatiha, that He is accepting and tolerant, as well as someone that I owe my responsibility to. So having this broad understanding that all the activities of my life are synchronized with my duty to Him, my responsibility to Him, my love for Him in recognition of His love for me. So it's a very personal relationship that offers an opportunity for me to get in control by synchronizing these different dimensions of my life. Again, He cannot be a slave driver. He cannot be a dictator. He cannot be a Fir'aun. He cannot be a Pharaoh. He has to be, as the Bismillah itself goes on to say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, incredibly compassionate, incredibly persistently merciful, right? So I'm going to open this up when we get to this ayah in Surah Fatiha. But right now, just to recognize that yes, the activity that I'm about to start, I have to carry a sense of responsibility, freely chosen, interestingly, but also recognize that that sense of responsibility should not inspire within me this incredibly daunting fear, this intimidation that renders me incapable of performing that activity at all, or performing that activity up to par with my abilities. How does that happen? When I don't recognize that the Allah to whom I owe my responsibility to is incredibly merciful, is incredibly compassionate. Because the forgetting of that will render my performance, because it is so ridden with fear, completely, it'll be chaotic. And I won't be able to perform. I will not be able to. I need to know. I need to have this faith that I have the freedom to make mistakes, even whilst regarding the best sense of responsibility, carrying that balance with me. So just this simple recitation, or just this simple invocation of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before everything that we do, not only does it allow for us to synchronize in a process over time, days, weeks, months, years, that we're just constantly reflecting and thinking as we recite this. We try to get out of the habit of saying that as a cliche without actually recognizing what it has to offer. The Bismillah tells me not only of what I'm doing is made possible because of Allah, but that I am responsible to Him to do it right, to do it to the best of my abilities, to do it with excellence, with ihsan, right? I can't do a half tracker. I can't do a bad job of it. Oh, this is a dunya activity. This is a worldly activity. This has nothing to do with God. No, it does. It does, very much so. When you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that is precisely what you're reminding yourself of. So not only are you relating that activity, it's not just your prayer that relates with Allah, it is all your other activities that relate with Allah as well, at a very personal level, mind you. Very, very personal level. And unless we have a cognizance of that, we're not going to carry that that recognition and consciousness into our daily life activities, and we're not going to have a daily life routine relationship with Him, which is what it is all about to begin with, right? So that sense of responsibility, it has to be invoked. So my dunya activities and my deen activities, Bismillah, Bismillah. Allah is the Lord of one and Allah is the Lord of the other. This dunya activities do not have a lesser God, do not have another God. It is the same Lord. It is the same compassionate Rabb that I need to be invoking and be cognizant of as I'm cognizant of in my prayer. So whether it is an activity of sacrifice or it is an activity of personal gain, whether it is an activity of giving or it is an activity of getting, whether it is an activity of a struggle, of something that I have to do outside of my comfort zone, or it is a pleasurable activity. We know from the Prophet ﷺ that there are du'as invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to the beginning of sexual interactions. So there, you have an understanding of how Allah is your relationship with Him extends to all of these domains of your life, right? So whether I am giving charity or I am making a profit, Bismillah, Bismillah, in both of these domains. Whether I am helping someone or getting someone's help, Bismillah, Bismillah, in both these domains. So I need to have, again, an understanding of Allah, who is the one who encourages charity, yes, but who was also in favor of making profits, of economic profits, who encourages sacrifice, but who is also concerned with my pleasure, who wants me to relax and have fun at times as well, right? And as we go through the different attributes and the way the Quran addresses particularly pleasure, power, and economics, we will find that contrary to popular understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's comprehensive overwhelming of all these domains, His tolerance, His acceptance, His encouragement, it extends far beyond what we have restricted Him to, right? So with all of these understandings and with the understanding of balance, balancing hope, balancing responsibility and hope with an understanding of having the freedom to make mistakes as well. That's something that Bismillah beautifully communicates to me and allows me through my activities, despite making sure that I don't become too complacent, too lazy, too irresponsible, but also making sure I am not driven by fear to be unable to perform the way I'm supposed to. So with that reminder about what the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as to how it can potentially help us grow as a process over time, I'm signing off with a promise to come back tomorrow, inshallah, starting Surah Fatiha. Thank you so much for watching. If you liked it, if you think this is beneficial, leave a comment, share with your loved ones, with people you care for, with people you think will benefit from this series, from this video. Thank you so much once again. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.